This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, bodies, our very spirit, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. One of my favorite shows on television is The Good Wife. I don't know if any of you watch it or not, but I like it. So it stars Juliana Margulies, and she plays a character by the name of Alicia Florrick, who's a lawyer. And she recently left a huge law firm and set out on her own, and she's operating out of her house. And for a few days each week, she works for a very small amount of money at the City of Chicago Bond Court. And she's really dismayed because every time she goes there, the judge is more concerned with getting the quota of people through than he is about really listening to what's going on. She's used to being able to defend someone and defend them well, and she is not finding that in this court because it's not a court of justice. It's a court of just running them through. This judge is more concerned with the powers that be and going along to get along than he is about the truth. In today's gospel, we have another trial going on. So Jesus has been arrested in the garden after the Last Supper. He's dragged from the high priest to the chief priest, and now he stands before the governor of the region, Pontius Pilate. So this region is under the control of the Roman Empire. This is Jerusalem and the section around it. And Tiberius is the emperor in Rome. And so Pontius Pilate has this job of not ruffling any feathers. He's supposed to keep everything copacetic, make sure everything operates smoothly. As long as he gets the taxes, sends them to Rome, everything is going to be fine. So this Jesus comes along, and he's a little shook. He's not quite sure what's going to happen. He comes before him, and he comes because the Pharisees and the chief priests don't like that they're calling him the King of the Jews. How dare they call him the King of the Jews? So they bring him before Pilate. So Pilate says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus meets him right where he is, and he says, "Are you saying that because somebody told you that, or do you really wonder that?" He's trying to get at the truth. He's trying to get at what this man is really about. And Pilate says, "Well, I'm not a Jew." He feeds right into it. He's ready to debate him back and forth. He said, "Your nation brought you to me. What about that? What have you done?" He knew that Jesus hadn't done anything. He knew that he was innocent. His wife had even come to him after having a dream to tell him not to bother with this man, Jesus, that he was no criminal. And Pilate really had a deaf ear because he was more concerned about going along to get along with the emperor. So he says, "What have you done?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so then, of course, Pilate looks at him and goes, "So you are a king." And Jesus, he probably was standing there just shaking his head. This guy just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. And then he says, "You say that. You say, for this I came into the world, this other kingdom that is, to testify to the truth." And this is the most important part, for today at least. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Belongs to the truth. That is the linchpin on this whole conversation. He's giving Pilate, by the way, this was an unusual thought, he's giving Pilate the opportunity to also do the right thing. He's saying this to Pilate, and Pilate still isn't willing. And we know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. He is giving Pilate this way to belong. And when we think about belonging, think about it now. You think you belong to a family. You belong to maybe a club or a church. You belong to a certain school. You belong to an organization. That means that you are a part of it. You are a part of that. And so he's saying we need to be a part of the truth, not just believe it with our head, but actually do it in our everyday lives. And the truth is where God in Christ meets Pilate. The truth is where God in Christ meets us, no matter what. No matter what. Listen to this by Margaret Self. She says, God comes to us not where we should have been if we had made all the right choices in our life, not where we could have been if we had taken every opportunity that God has offered us, not where we wish we were if we didn't have to be in the place where we find ourselves, not where we think we are because our minds are out of sync with our hearts, not where other people think we are or think we ought to be when they are attending to their own agendas. God meets us where we really are, right here, right in this moment. And to belong to that truth, the truth of Jesus, is to belong to loving and forgiving and seeing what's under the surface. It's like this big iceberg. There's always more. And there's always more to it than we think there is. I love this line that frequently people are not upset for the reason they think they are. I want to say that again. Frequently, myself included, are not upset for the reason we think we are. There's always a deeper truth. There's always a deeper truth. And to get to it is to follow Christ in our everyday moments, this revolutionary, radical Christ. But what that means then is that frequently we have to swim upstream. Frequently, it means that we have to read against the grain if we're watching television or something that we're reading or hearing in the news. We have to really take a look at who's doing the talking and where is it coming from. This radical life of Christ gives us and offers us an alternative to the very destruction of the created order. It gives us that opportunity to change the world. It's like that song that we sang, I think it was last week, the Canticle of the Turning. The world can turn as we change our inner lives and as we change our own behaviors. This is where it starts with us. And then it goes out to the rest of the world in truth. Greg Boyd, a senior pastor of Woodland Hills Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, writes this. People are finally waking up, not to the usual idea of a kingdom, that is, we will conquer the world and win. How does that sound a little familiar? But a Jesus-looking world of kindness and compassion. There's a kingdom movement going on all over the world. We are at the cusp of a new reformation. It's radical and beautiful, and right now under the radar, but it's beautiful. It is the kingdom movement of Jesus Christ, and if we believe in that, then we're following in that way. He finishes, the protectors of the status quo don't like it. They would rather that we go along to get along. Now, I want to be very careful here. I am not proposing some pie in the sky, Pollyanna, everything's going to be okay, because serious problems are going on. We all know that. We all get that. All that we can control is how we are behaving in our attitudes, in watching our prejudices, in watching our very interactions with others, and with all the world around us. And so I would like to offer you something a little bit different for this Thanksgiving week. given all that we have been going through, a practical application of gratitude to get to truth in Christ. So stick with me for a second here. If you're grateful, no matter what is going on, to try to find something to be grateful for, calling in Jesus Christ, praying for God's prayer in a situation that may seem insurmountable, you are helping the world. And if we are praying in that way, we are not ever to underestimate the power of that prayer in our lives. It is first and foremost important. So in gratitude, when something goes wrong, this is what I'd like you to think about, and I'm going to come around with a mic. I'm hoping that a few of you would be willing to say how you are grateful in a difficult situation. I'll give you a few examples. I came home last night. I came here to the Cuban dinner, got my dinner, takeouts for my neighbors, came home, walked into my bedroom, walked into the closet, and of course, you know, it was raining so hard. All the shelves had fallen off the closet, all of them on the floor. The wall was all wet. I walk in. I had taken my shoes off. There's water on the floor. Well, okay then. I really thought that the roof was leaking, but I went downstairs, talked to my neighbors and the guy that kind of fixes things around the place, and he said, no, see, the roof is fine. It's relatively new. He said, most likely what's happened is that the air conditioning pan, was overflowing in the ceiling, and I luckily had the air conditioner off, so he said, probably not going to have any more problems. So then I got to thinking, I have insurance, and I can put in a claim. I may get a new paint job out of this. Made me clean out my closet. And the bathroom wall on the other side has a little bit of a mushy thing. I might get my bathroom painted. Gratitude. Another example. I am in a misunderstanding with someone. And I am thanking God in advance with deep gratitude that I know that we will work it out. I know that we will. And that'll help pave the way for that very thing to happen. Just a couple examples. Last one from me, and then I'd like to come around and see if you have any. My sister's dog, Charlie, is dying. Probably just has a couple hours, really, to live. They've had him for a long time. And they are giving thanks for having this dog in their lives. All right, so, anybody willing? And you got to hold this real close, I understand. So hold it real close to your mouth.
Well, I'm pretty loud usually anyway. I have got
And say your name, please.
Elizabeth Pierce.
Can you stand up, Elizabeth?
I have got a niece who's a freshman in college this year, and she's going to the college I graduated from, and I helped steer her in that direction. And she went through, you know, what most teenagers do, this sense of withdrawing from parents and everybody for various reasons the last couple of years. Not in an antisocial way, but it was hard to get her to talk. So I get her into my college. I've been texting her on a regular basis to see how things were going. And out of the blue this week, she sent me a text and said, I'm so excited to see everybody at Thanksgiving. And my whole family will be there. I was stunned. She's never taken the initiative to come to me first. And the sense of excitement she had and obvious happiness, so different from the attitude we've all been seeing the last couple of years, that to me is a miracle, that she's been able to see the opportunity of growing in college and taking advantage of all of that. And now what she wants to do is tell the family about it. That is a miracle.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other example? Of especially in something that's challenging. Jemmy.
You know, I have a lot to say. Hi, I'm Jemmy. And so right now I'm going through a very difficult time on a lot of levels, but you know, certain the most important things like my health, my son, all of that's great. But financially and family wise, I'm going through a really, really tough time. And the trick about it is when you're going through a tough time financially and you can't reach out to your parents because you don't have a relationship with them, there is a level of loneliness that just strikes you to the core. And I was literally wandering my apartment last night in the middle of rain, I walked the entire complex because I was looking for someone who had told me in passing that he would pay my rent. And I was down to a desperate moment. I had no other choice but to walk in the storm and look for him. I didn't have a phone number or anything. And in that walk in the rain, it occurred to me that I have someone, I won't say who it is because y'all know her and it would be embarrassing for her, but I have someone very close to my heart who I knew I could ask. And it just occurred to me. And I've never been more grateful for a walk in the rain like I was yesterday because she came through.
So. Thank you, Jimmy. Paul. Just one or two more, Paul? After Paul.
Yes, my name is Paul Wagner. This kind of goes along with what Wendy said a minute ago about the news. I know she mentioned the news. And the news lately has been about a handful, small group of people that are really not nice. Well, I'm going to try to look the other way and say I'm grateful and have gratitude for all the good people in this world that are trying to do the right thing, whether these people are Christians, they're Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever. To me, it doesn't make a difference. It's all about looking at the good in people and concentrating on that and hoping that all the good people in the world can come together and take care of the evil in the world.
Being grateful, yeah. Thank you. Way back here. Linda.
Hi, my name is Linda Brown.
Real close.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say that before the service, I heard from my daughter, who I've been pushing towards the Lord, go to church and try this one. And she called and she said, I had a few minutes. She said, I'm on my way to church. I don't want to be late. But the miracle of it is, because I haven't been saying anything to her, the miracle of it is, she said, I really don't like the music there. I want to hear what he has to say, the priest. And I let her go, and I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that's where my gratitude is today.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Anybody else? One last. Gratitude. Oh, in the midst of challenge.
Hi, I'm Emily, and recently I have lost 6 really dear friends and my mother. I'm really struggling, feeling quite alone. You know, Florida's a transit state. I work out of my home and feel very isolated. But through this, I feel such gratitude for not only my mother's friends that I didn't even know she had, some of them have reached out to me. And also, my friends that have passed, they've also, their friends have reached out to me. And I'm so grateful for the Lord putting these new people in my life for me to look forward to my next stages.
Thank you. Are we bold enough to say yes, to belong to the truth, to live in the realm of Christ, to still take action, give thanks when we need to give thanks, to have a higher consciousness of heart and soul and mind? This is the grace of God. Are we willing? Amen.